The Word of God teaches us that we have a new beginning. The Bible says that old things have passed away and all things have been made new. We have been made a new creation in Christ. We are new creatures. God's got a new life for you to step into. He's got a new opportunity for you to experience. He's got a new tomorrow that He wants you to participate in. And that means leaving the old, leaving what's behind and stepping into this new reality that God has prepared for your life. And start experiencing all the goodness that God has appropriated for you. But in order to do that, you got to leave something behind. There's something keeping us from stepping into every opportunity and the goodness and blessings and fullness of the Lord in our lives. How many of you believe God wants your life to be joyful? Amen. Amen. How many of you believe God wants your life to be blessed? Hallelujah. I believe that. God wants you to live an overcoming life. Amen. Jesus said, "Fear not the world, I've overcome the world." And we are overcomers, and we should be living like overcomers. But there's something that often prevents us from stepping into the fullness and the full life and the blessings that the Lord has for us. And I want to talk about that today because I want us to move on. How many of you want to move on? Amen. Don't want to stay wallowing where we've been, but we want to go on to something new. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. And I've chosen for a title of this message, "What Sin?" What sin? What sin? Amen. And our text this morning comes from Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. I want to talk about that thing that's holding you back, that's preventing you from being everything that God wants you to be. And that we can start seeing our worship, and we can start seeing our lives, and we can start seeing our families and our church, and we can start going to that place that God wants us to go. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19 says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of His heritage?" How many of you know that you are His heritage? Amen? That's what the Bible says. You are the heritage of the Lord. Say, "I am the heritage of the Lord." It's passed over your transgression. It says He does not retain His anger forever. Say, "God's not mad at me." Say, "God is for me." It's a great truth. God is on your side. God's not against you. God is for you. God loves you. God's pulling for you. He roots for you. He cheers you on. He's behind you. It says He will not retain His anger forever because He delights in mercy. Amen. So He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities and will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Hallelujah. What sin? What sin? Father, we love You so much, and we thank You for this day. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, that we have been made overcomers in Your name. I am thankful, Lord, that You have appropriated for us an awesome life that You want us to live and experience. We have a future in the kingdom of God that is beyond anything we can imagine. And Lord, we can start experiencing the goodness of the Lord today. We don't have to wait until one day, but Lord, we can start living an overcoming life now. But the enemy is doing everything he can to prevent Your people from stepping into the promise, from stepping into the fullness of everything that God has appropriated for them. So, Lord, I pray right now that You release in our hearts this word, and God, that it explodes within us and we see the truth of who we are in the kingdom and can step into the fullness of everything that God has appropriated for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The first part of this I want you to see, I wanted to zero in on the last part of this verse. He will have compassion. He will subdue our iniquities and he will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. He will have compassion. How many of you believe God loves you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, I came to save the world. God's in the saving business. Amen? God's in the redeeming business. God's in the loving business. He loves you. He came to redeem you. He came to set you free and to pour his love out on you. He is full of mercy and he is full of compassion. Say compassion. The Bible says Jesus looked at the multitudes and was, and this says several times, he would look at the multitudes and was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. You know what? He would look at us today and be moved with compassion because he would see our need. And there's needs. He would see it. And his heart would be moved for you. His heart would be moved with compassion for your family, for your situation, for your need, because he loves you so much. He's a compassionate God. God's not our enemy. God's for us. We have an enemy. Amen? Amen. You know, when you got saved, when you came into the kingdom, you kind of married into the family. You got in the family, and you married into that Hatfield and McCoy's feud, you know? There's a feud going on between Jesus and the devil, and the devil hates Jesus and everything about God, and you married into that, and you married in on the Jesus side, amen? And we're on the Jesus side. So because we're on the Jesus side, the devil doesn't like you, and he's out to get you. The Bible says he comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. And he's a liar, and he's a thief. And he's come to do harm to you. God has never come to do harm to you. Amen. God's come to do good to you. Say, God is here to do good. Amen. God is here to do good to me because he loves you and he has compassion on you and he has mercy on you and he wants to bless you and he wants to heal you and he wants to deliver you and he wants to set you free. But you need to believe that. The enemy is blinding you to that truth. He doesn't want you to know the goodness of the Lord. David said, I would have fainted. I would have given up. I would have quit if I had not seen the goodness of the Lord. And I lived that for several years. I became very cynical in my faith because I didn't understand the goodness of the Lord. But in 1986, when I saw the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, when I saw the goodness of the Lord, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. He's good. Hallelujah. And God is for you. God is, and if God is for you, who can be against you? So the devil's trying, but God's for you. And you keep telling the devil that. Wait a minute, devil. God is for me. God is on my side. God is pulling for me. God has blessed me. And what God has blessed cannot be cursed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Y'all, help me preach this morning, okay? God's for you. He wants to bless you. And he wants to pour out, and the devil doesn't want you to see it. And he's holding you back. He's holding you back. Isaiah 30:18 says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Do you hear that? The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He can't wait to pour grace out on you. He can't wait to be. He longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. And blessed are all those who wait for him. Amen. And that means us. Psalm 51 says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Psalm 86 says, but you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Psalm 103 says, as a father who has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. God's for you. God loves you. God has compassion on you. God wants to help you. God wants to bless you. God wants to meet your needs. And the enemy's doing everything he can to keep you from realizing that. And there's something that he uses, and it's our past. The Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the mark and high prize and calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are things in all of our past that we would like to walk away from, we'd like to forget, and the enemy is taunting you with it. And there comes a time when you have to lay that down and step into your tomorrow. There comes a time when you got to walk away from that and walk into the reality of what God has created you to be. Say, I am a new creature. Say, I am a new creature. Old things have passed away. I said, old things have passed away. And all things have been made new. That's the promise that he has made for you. And how does he do that? With his mercy. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. How many of you have ever thought, I tell people all the time, I have got to be the guy that holds the record for getting saved more than anybody. I mean, I had to get saved every Sunday at church all over again. They'd give an altar call, I was there because I needed it. And I was all the time, you know, because I had this idea that God had this big pencil with an eraser. And he'd write my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, Glenn McElhane. He'd write his name down in the Lamb. He just got saved. Write his name down. And then a few hours later, bring me an eraser because he's already messed up. And I was like, then it'd be next Sunday, oh, write his name in there again. He came back. And then by Sunday afternoon, it was okay, blotted out again because and it was constant. Just I was afraid God was going to rub a hole in the page where my name was. And then I started seeing the keeping blood of Jesus. And my name was written down in that book and it was sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. By the keeping power of God's grace. And I saw that truth. I saw the love of God and I saw his mercy. I thought, because there's been times when I thought I'd used the mercy of God up. God can't love me anymore. God can't save me anymore. God can't. I've used it all up. But I found out his mercies were new every morning. Hallelujah. You can't use them up, church. They're new every morning. They're new. Their Bible says they're from everlasting to everlasting. Exodus says the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Ephesians says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. Amen. Hallelujah. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. Oh, his compassion and his mercy. Say, God is for me. Say, God wants to bless me. Hallelujah. You got to see that. The Word of God's full of it. And the Word also says, because of that, he will take care of that problem that's hanging over you like you're carrying around a stack of rocks, a millstone about your neck, and you have this weight and you have this burden and you have this heartache and you have this wound and you have this pain because somewhere in your past you were abused, you were hurt, you were wounded, you were robbed, you were betrayed, you were cheated, you made mistakes, you failed, you stumbled, whatever. And it hangs about you like the sword of Damocles that hangs over your head and you think, I can't be free from this. But we read a passage of scripture that not only will he have compassion, he will subdue your iniquities. Oh, glory to God. He will subdue your iniquities. Let me tell you what that means. Sin was brought into creation. God created a perfect world. He put Adam and Eve in it. Everything was perfect. But through the fall of man, sin was introduced into the DNA of creation and started spreading like a disease, started spreading like a virus. And I'm not talking about sins. I'm not talking about the stuff you do. We get hung up on the stuff we do. We are so hung up on doing. We're so hung up on lists. and rules, and we get all hung up on, that's not the thing. The things you do are the result of something. The things you do are a symptom of a problem. The problem is not the list. The problem is the thing called sin that was introduced into the DNA of creation. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 7. You got this thing in you that's causing a problem. It's producing sins. And Jesus made a promise, and a promise in the Word of God, that though that serpent would bruise the heel of Jesus, that he would crush the head of the serpent and that he would put it under his feet. And the Bible says that when that verse says he subdued sin, you know what that word subdued means? He walked on your sin. He walked on your sin. He put it under his feet. He stepped on it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I remember in that movie, The Passion, one of my favorite scenes in that movie was when Jesus was in the garden and he was fighting the devil. And I don't know if you remember that scene, but he's standing there in that garden and he takes his foot and he goes just like that and turns it and puts it down the ground. When I saw that, something flew through me. I thought, hallelujah, glory to God. He has subdued my sins. He has put them under his feet. He has stepped on them and he has defeated him. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. That is so awesome. He will tread our sins under our feet. You know what the Word of God says? Sin no longer has dominion over me. Amen? Sin's not my ruler anymore. Sin's not my king anymore. Sin's not my master anymore. Sin don't control me anymore. I got a new king. I got a new ruler. I got a new master, and his name is Jesus. 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 Colossians 2:15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made an embarrassment of them openly, triumphing over them. The word spoiled there means to plunder, to take back. He stripped the devil of everything. He spoiled him. He plundered him. He took back and stole, recovered everything that the enemy has stolen. Folks, the devil was defeated at the cross. The devil was defeated at the cross. Some of you, we act like the battle's in doubt. The battle's not in doubt. Jesus has won the victory. The victory has been won. The cross was the victory. Amen? Hallelujah. He won the victory over the devil. He won the victory over sin. He won the victory over death. You know, the Bible says that Jesus went into the heart of the earth when he died, just like everybody else had gone in the heart of the earth. The only difference was he didn't stay there. The Bible says he went into the heart of the earth and he preached to those who were in prison. And he told them, I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm the promise that was made. I am the Messiah that you have long looked for. I am the Redeemer. I am the one that came to wash away the sins of humanity. I am the one that has come to defeat forever that old Satan, that old devil, that old dragon. And now I'm about to leave this place and I'm taking all of y'all with me. And the Bible says he led captivity captive and he took the gates of hell off its hinges and he walked out and hell could not hold him. Hell could not keep him. He left the grave. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. He won the victory. And then he did something awesome. He took my sins. He took all my wrongs and he cast them into the bottom of the sea. Now I want to show you, I want to tell you what this means. We love the term and I use it all the time because I love it. It's so poetic. It's not in the Bible. But we use that phrase all the time. He cast my sins into the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. And that's where, this is the verse that comes from. He cast my sins into the sea of forgetfulness, or he cast my sins into the bottom of the sea. What this really means is he cast my sins into a place where they are unreachable.
Hallelujah.
He cast my sins into a place where they are unreachable. They cannot be found. They cannot be retrieved. They cannot be dug up. They are in the depths of the ocean. They're gone. They're gone. Hallelujah. The Old Testament illustrates this on the Day of Atonement. They would take what they call the scapegoat. Right? That's where the term scapegoat comes from. You heard that phrase? He's just a scapegoat. They would take the scapegoat and lay hands on the scapegoat, the priest would, and they would transfer spiritually all the sins of the people onto that goat. We place all of our sins, all of our mistakes, all of our sins onto this goat. And the Bible says they would find an able man. An able man to lead the scapegoat away. And the reason they chose an able man is because they didn't want that goat to come back. Because why? Because he's carrying my sins. I don't want to see that goat ever again. I want to watch him walk out of the camp and I want to see him disappear. After a while, I don't want to hear, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I want that goat. I want him gone. Amen. Why? Because he's carrying my sin. So find a good guy. Find somebody that's capable. Find somebody that's a winner. Find somebody that can do the job to lead that goat away and lead him over a cliff somewhere so where that he don't come back because he's bearing sin. I want you to know God found an able man. God found a man who was able. God found a man who was willing to take your sins and cast them into the bottom of the earth. Ocean, and they're not coming back. Glory. Glory. The Bible says he removes them as far as the east is from the west. The Word of God says he casts them behind your back. He puts them in the bottom of the ocean, and they are now unreachable and cannot be retrieved. Your past is gone. Why are you still carrying it? When you come to God and say, God, I'm so sorry for my sin, he says, what sin? What are you talking about? I've cast it into the bottom of the ocean. I sent it as far as the east is from the west. I put it behind my back and I don't look at it anymore. What are you talking about? It's gone. Quit wallowing in it. Quit living in it. Come out. Come out of it. Step into your future. Step into your tomorrow. Step into the blessings and fullness and goodness of the Lord and start living the life that the blood of Jesus bought for you and redeemed for you. Start being the new creature in Christ that God called you to be and live a life of joy. Live a life of victory. Live a life of overcoming power. Live a life of healing. Live a life of health. Live a life as the overcomer that God called you to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm on my soapbox this morning because this is the greatest thing I love to preach. Because I'm preaching my heart this morning about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you a video. And while I show you this video, if you're ready to walk out of the past and you're ready to step into your tomorrow, I want you to come to this altar anytime during this video you feel led to.